We must be a very needy and hurting people. Put myself in that group as well. Because the message that I'm going to preach to you is like the other side of the coin of Pastor's message this morning. And I was afraid that he was going to preach my message. I'm going to preach tonight about dealing with anxiety and worry. This is something that we all deal with, if we're honest. It's something that's crippling. It's something that's paralyzing. It's something that we deal with all the time. It's something that Satan uses to distract us from what God wants us to do. By way of intro, you ever thought about when Jesus is praying in the garden and he finds his disciples sleeping? Remember that? He tells them to pray. He tells them to wait here while he goes and prays yonder, and he finds them when he returns sleeping. The Bible says in Luke 22:45, when he rose up from prayer, he was come to his disciples, and he found them sleeping for sorrow. Sleeping for sorrow. Those disciples, I mean, you know, they should have been awake. They should have been watching. They should have been praying. They should have been doing all these things, and they were sleeping. But you ever been there? You ever been so paralyzed and gripped with just fear and sorrow and anguish and grief and worry that the only thing that you can think to do to get away from that is to go to sleep? That's what this is talking about here. Their Savior told them that he was going to be taken and crucified and die. And, I mean, what would you guys say if Pastor got up here and he said, I'm going to die tomorrow? I mean, you know, that's how the disciples felt. And they were sleeping for sorrow. What does Jesus say? What is his response? In Luke 22:46, he says, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. I'm going to try and share something with you tonight that I learned in college. It was presented to me in such a way that I've never forgotten it. And it's one of those things that I've dug up every so often, more often than I would like to admit. When I'm struggling with worry and anxiety and fear, the Bible teaching on how to conquer it, the Bible teaching and how to have victory over that kind of a thing. And so let's ask the Lord to help us tonight, and then we'll get started. Lord, we are so humbled to come before you. You are so great and so far above and beyond anything that we can even imagine. And yet you've given us your word. I pray that you would help me tonight. I pray that what is spoken from this pulpit, Lord, would not be me, but it would be your message for us. We pray that you'd help us tonight. We pray you'd meet all the needs that are here, as was already mentioned tonight about how needs were met this morning. We pray that you would continue to do that tonight. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn, if you will, to Philippians chapter 4. The pastor went to like three of my different passages that I'm going to turn to tonight, and he talked about each one of them, and I was sitting there, you know, thinking, I'm preaching about anxiety, and I'm having anxiety about, Pastor, is he going to preach my message? But you know, praise the Lord, he didn't. The way the pastor did it in such a way that he, you know, so many times I've preached messages with other preachers in a series before or after that the Lord coincides them together and intertwines them together, and only the Lord can do that. And I'm thankful because the Lord led me to preach this, I don't know, weeks ago, a month ago, and so he knows what he's doing. Philippians chapter 4. To give some background here, Paul is rapidly firing commands, and Pastor mentioned one of them this morning. Rejoice in the Lord always, okay? So these are commands, these are imperatives, these are things that we are supposed to do. In Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. He's just rapid firing these commands. Let your moderation be known unto all men, self-control. The Lord is at hand. But then in verse 6, he gives us something that maybe you've heard before, maybe you've heard it preached about, maybe you've heard it taught, maybe you've just read it and you've thought about it. But we're going to try and dive into this in verse 6 and following deeply tonight. We're going to try and look at some things and see if we can understand what Paul is saying here and how it can help us. The first thing he says is be careful for nothing. Verse number 6, be careful for nothing. The Greek here has the idea of being anxious, full of care, full of worry. What did Jesus tell Martha? Martha, you're careful and troubled about many things, full of care. When Jesus said, take no thought for your life, the word thought is the same word care here. It has the idea of worry or anxiety, care, trouble, okay? And Paul is saying that we are to be careful for nothing. We are to be anxious or worried for nothing. It's been said that worry is the sin that we are not afraid to commit. Think about it. How many times have you worried this week, this month? I mean, I can raise my hand. You know? And it's something that doesn't enter into our mind that we are actually breaking a command of Scripture. And we'll get into this as we go on here. Did you know that just for about everything that there is in the world, there's probably somebody that's afraid of it? I have a list here, and I don't know how many things are on this list. I'm going to go through some of them. This is from like a psychiatric table of phobias, okay? Things that people are afraid of, things that people are worried about. You may have heard of some of these, you may not have. Ablutophobia is the fear of washing or bathing. Some people are afraid of taking a shower because they're afraid that they're going to be sucked down the drain when the water goes down. And you know, I mean, we have things that we're afraid of, but the reason that each and every one of these things is on this list here, and I'm just going to skim through it, is because somebody was diagnosed with that fear. And these are fears, these are worries, these are anxieties, things that just paralyze us and cripple us. Acerophobia is the fear of sourness. Electrophobia is the fear of chickens. How many here are afraid of chickens? Allumophobia is the fear of garlic. Maybe a vampire might have that. Androphobia is the fear of men. And, you know, in this list, the fear of men pops up like 8 different times under different names, different categories. What did David say? He said, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me. He said that in the Psalms. There's so many things, and you know, if I read through this entire list, there may be some things that you could identify with, that you could say you're afraid of. Brontophobia is the fear of thunder and lightning. When I was little, I went to a psychiatrist. I had to go to a psychiatrist because I was deathly afraid of thunder and lightning. And that might be a silly thing. People are afraid of the dark. You know, carotophobia is the fear of bats. My wife had some experiences with bats when she was little. And because of those things that happen, lots of times, I mean, fill in the blank, whatever it is that you are full of care about, whatever it is you are worried about, that falls under what Paul says. Be careful or anxious or worried for nothing. And we need to know that this is a command of Scripture. You guys know that last year I had some difficulty with my gallbladder, and it took a long time for the doctors to diagnose what was wrong. I had a lot of fears and worries and anxieties going through my head. I remember that I was at Burger King over here in Clayton, and I got a call from my dad, and I was telling him about my health difficulties, my concerns. I didn't know what was going on. The doctors in the emergency rooms couldn't figure it out. And my dad, he has a way with words sometimes. He said, do you have health insurance, or do you have life insurance, he said. And he wasn't joking. He was like, you know, do you have some kind of life insurance? That is not what I needed to hear at that point in time. And so often in our lives, Satan knows how to push our buttons. Brother Ken was talking about, he's a smart guy, okay? Just because Satan's wicked doesn't mean that he's stupid. He knows how to get our buttons. He knows how to make us disobey this command, whatever it may be. Maybe you had a traumatic experience with fill in the blank. I have a good friend, he said, and I'd never heard of this term before. You guys all heard of like OCD, somebody that's obsessive compulsive disorder. He said that he was diagnosed with obsessive compulsive relationship disorder, where I guess, you know, you become super anxious and nervous about relationships with people and how you interact with people, and is so-and-so angry with me? Did I do something wrong here in this relationship or that one? Now, we may have the idea before looking at this passage that worrying or being anxious or being fearful is just a part of life. It's just who I am. I'm a worrywart. I'm an anxious person. But if it's a sin, like Paul is saying here, okay, you may think that I don't want to hear that it's a sin because I don't want to have one more thing to worry about or be anxious about. But there is an amazing, amazing truth and hope that comes with recognizing that it's a sin. If it's a sin, it means that it can be overcome. If it's a sin, it means that we can get victory over it through Christ like any other sin. And I'll get into a little bit here why I believe it's a sin, beyond the point of we're disobeying a biblical command to worry or be careful for nothing. When it says be careful for nothing, it means that nothing is too small. When I'm talking about all of this stuff, you may have something pop in your head, like you're thinking of your own struggle with what makes you anxious, with what makes you worried or fearful. And you may think, that's just it's a little thing. But when Paul says, be careful for nothing, it means that there is nothing too small for God's fatherly care and nothing too big for his power. So how do we find our equilibrium in the dizzying world of anxiety? I don't think it's on this list, but I'll tell you one of my fears. I was at a church in Ohio on deputation, and I was on a panel of missionaries, and they asked all the missionaries, what's the hardest thing that you've dealt with? What's the thing that, I forget how they phrased it, your biggest problem or your biggest difficulty or your biggest fear while you've been on deputation? And mine can be summed up in one word, and my wife may know what this is, tornado. How many of you have ever been in a tornado or been near one or have known people that have gone through them? Okay, I had heard about it. I was, I was afraid of thunder and lightning as a kid, but when we were going through, I think it's Kentucky or Ohio, it's Bowling Green. And I was trying to think, is Bowling Green in Kentucky or Ohio? And, somebody responded yes. So there's two Bowling Greens. That's why I had a hard time. One of the two. Anyway, we're on the freeway. You know that song, the hymn that says, when the storm clouds lower, okay? And, you've heard about maybe when a tornado comes, my dad's a truck driver, so he would tell us, when the sky looks greenish or weirdish or something, I don't know. But I would think, well, if it starts looking bad and I can see something forming, I'll just get off the road. I'll go somewhere safe. The problem is the clouds were right here already. I mean, you see a funnel cloud forming, it's too late. And we're going on the freeway, and windshield wipers at full speed are not keeping up with the rain. I mean, it's like somebody had a fire hose on our front windshield. And I'm shaking because I can't see the cars next to me. I don't want to get in an accident. I'm hoping that there's going to be an exit somewhere before our car gets demolished by a tornado. We get off the road. We get into a grocery store that, believe it or not, had glass walls. And we get in there, and, some people are okay. It's just nothing. And I'm in there, shaking, are we going to survive this? And we saw the clouds start to do this thing, okay? Later we found out after we had left that a tornado did touch down in that area. But ever since, whenever we're traveling, that pushes my buttons of anxiety and worry and fear. When something starts to happen or when I get a thing on my phone that says there's a tornado warning in the area, is that something that is too big or too small for God to take care of, to put in God's hand? He doesn't say, don't worry, be happy. He doesn't say, the thing you worry about might never happen. But he gives us a concrete plan to defeat anxiety. So what does he say? Well, the first part, the negative aspect, is be careful for nothing. The second part, the positive aspect of verse 6, he says, but in everything by prayer and supplication. In everything, pray. Now, you may think to yourself, Brother Dan, I know what you're going to say, and I've tried this before, and it doesn't work. I've gone to God when I've been struggling with some kind of worry or anxiety or fear, and I've asked for the Lord's help, and I've asked for the Lord's help, and I've asked for the Lord's help, and then, a couple minutes later, I find myself wringing my hands again, pacing back and forth. Or maybe I'll wake up in the night, and, that thing where it's just in your chest, this panic of something that may be in the background bothering you, something that you're worried about. I want to share with you something about how when we look at this passage, I don't think we're doing what Paul is saying. I mean, we're doing it kind of to the letter, superficially, but we're not doing it in spirit and in reality, what he's saying. Let me explain here. The Greek word pray, when it's opposed to supplication. He says everything by prayer and supplication, two different words, okay? Supplication means request. Supplication means asking. Supplication means petitioning, okay? Asking the Lord for something. Prayer here, although it's translated pray almost every single time that it's mentioned, it has a different connotation to it. It has a different implication to it when it's attached to supplication. Because supplication is the asking. Prayer has the idea of communing with God, coming to God in worship, talking to God, speaking to God, praising God, and worshiping God. We don't do that when we're fearful. We don't do that when we're anxious. The very first thing that we do is we just stumble into God's presence and say, Lord, help me, help me, help me, help me. You know, give me this, give me this, give me this, give me victory over this, da-da-da-da-da. And we cease, or we don't take the time to realize who it is we're talking to. And in the reality of it all of our anxiety, all of our fear comes from an incorrect view of who God is. Every single thing that you're fearful about, every single thing that you worry about, that you're anxious about, all these things on this list that people are fearful of, the root of it is an incorrect view of who God is. Turn real quickly, keep your finger there in Philippians, turn to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. I want to read just a couple of verses here, starting in verse number 12. Isaiah 40, verse 12. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Now, obviously, this is talking about the Lord. This is talking about God. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Do you know how much water is on this planet? As best as people can calculate, there's 326 million trillion gallons of water on this earth. Not only that, but it's in a constant state of, you know, it's a constant cycle of water on the ground, and then evaporation, and then rain. And the Bible says, God has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand. If he can do that, can he not care for us and our issues and our problems that we face every day? He meted out the heaven with a span. Do you know what a span is? A span is this, okay? Like a cubit is this, okay, from the tip of your finger to your elbow. Something like that, roughly. A span is from one point of your hand to the other, 9 to 11 inches, roughly. The Bible says that God meted out the heavens, the universe, with a span. This is our God. And this is just bringing it down to language that we can understand. It then says, who comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure. The word measure there means a third. It's like as if God had a third of a cup. And it's just kind of trying to bring things down to our scale, that he measured all the dust of the earth in a measure. Then it says, weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or who being his counselor hath taught him? Aren't you glad the Lord doesn't ever ask anybody for advice? He doesn't need help. When we come to him, that's the end. He's all we need. And we need to realize who he is when we come to him with our fears and our worries and our anxieties. If we treat God like, you know, a lucky rabbit's foot or something that we can just, you know, sit like at a psychiatrist like I did as a little boy and telling all my problems to, that's not what Paul is saying to do here. The very first thing that Paul says is come to God in reverence and awe of who he is and communing with him in prayer and worship. And then you ask him for your need and see if your need, your worry, your fear is not taken care of by the time you get to asking, after you realize who the one is that you're talking to. I heard an acronym, ACTS, A-C-T-S. Let me see if I can remember this correctly. I didn't write it down. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. And that's a good order for when we come to God in prayer. Anyway. Verse 14, with whom took he counsel and who instructed him, taught him in the path of judgment and taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are a drop as a drop of a bucket and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient, the country of Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. You know what God deserves? He deserves everything. He is so great, he is so mighty, he is so above everything. Lebanon is a little bit smaller than the state of Connecticut. Can you imagine? All of the beasts of the field, all the oxen, all of the beasts that would be offered in a burnt sacrifice in that land is not sufficient to give God the credit that's due to who he is. And we need to realize who it is that we're speaking to. And this is the gist of the whole thing. And I love this verse, verse 17. All nations, you ever get worried about like ISIS or North Korea or Iraq or Iran or our own country and the politics and all that kind of crazy stuff? You ever get worried about that? Psalm 37, pastor went there as well this morning. But it starts with, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Don't be worried. Don't be anxious. Don't be fearful. Listen to this. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. There's nothing too big for our God. Nothing at all. Countries of the world, nuclear war, you name it. There's nothing too big for our God to handle. You can turn back to Philippians. While you're turning there, I'm going to read a verse real quickly out of 2 Corinthians chapter 10. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And this is the part here. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. When I was a teenager, I heard this verse preached, and this can definitely be applied this way, in reference to a young man dealing with lust, okay, and things that would pop in your head. You need to take that and cast it down into the obedience of Christ. You need to ask God to just get that thing out of your mind and confess and forsake it and ask him for help. But you know this verse can just as well be applied to worry and fear and anxiety because it exalts itself against who God is. When you're afraid of something that God is in control of, when you're worried and fearful when he said, be careful for nothing, be anxious or worried for nothing, and you're fearful about it, that's something that is exalting itself against the knowledge of Christ. It's an evil imagination that needs to be cast down. It needs to be brought into captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ. Our anxiety is all about God and who we believe him to be. And so when we're trying all these different methods, looking on the internet, how to relieve stress, how to, you know, have victory over this, that, or the other thing, our victory comes from God. Our victory doesn't come through some kind of, you know, 12-step plan. It comes from the person and the character of who our God is and the object of whom we are trusting in. Back in 1653, there was a man by the name of Whitlock who was planning to travel to Sweden as the envoy of Oliver Cromwell. Whitlock was feeling very anxious before his trip because of the tumultuous state of the nation. England had just been through a civil war that had killed their king, Charles I. The military was at odds with the government. There was just no peace, and Whitlock was wondering, how can I represent a nation like this? And before the night of his trip, he was pacing back and forth, unable to sleep. One of his servants noticed that he was in such turmoil, and he asked Whitlock if he could ask him a question. Whitlock said, of course. The servant said, sir, do you not think God governed the world very well before you came into it? Undoubtedly, was the response. Sir, do you not think he will govern it quite well when you are gone out of it? Certainly, was the reply. Then, sir, excuse me, but do you not think you may trust him to govern it quite well as long as you live in it? That question left Whitlock speechless. He went to bed and immediately fell asleep. Do we realize who our God is? If we do, and you know what? If you're dealing with anxiety and fear, if something pops up, some kind of anxiety or fear, just think about who God is. Praise him for who he is. Worship him and ask him to help you to adjust your perspective, to realize that he is in control. George Mueller, how many of you guys have heard of George Mueller? Okay, amazing man of faith. He said this, the beginning of anxiety is the end of faith. And the beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety. We're going to be taking a trip this week, this coming week, down to Florida. And boy, I tell you, in preparing for this message and studying for this message, you wouldn't believe the kind of things that have just came up in my life. And I'm thinking, I'm preaching about anxiety and worry and something my dad called. You know, this whole thing with the hurricane in Texas. Okay, I'm kind of a hermit when it comes to some of the news and things that are going on in our country. I mean, not exactly. I don't want to make it sound like I completely don't pay attention to what's going on. When I told my dad that we were taking a trip this coming week down to Florida, he said, you know, there's a hurricane coming, don't you? And immediately, hurricanes spawn tornadoes, and we're going to be on the freeway. And all of this came into my, this is this week, okay, that I had this conversation. I don't know, a lot of my anxiety comes from conversations I have with my dad on the phone, I guess. But anxiety is merely a symptom of unbelief. It's a lack of trust in God. It is a sin because we are taking upon ourselves something that we are commanded in Scripture to give to Him. Mark chapter 4, verse 35, I'm just going to read it here for you. The same day, when even was come, He saith unto them, let us pass over to the other side of Galilee. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took Him even as He was in the ship. And there were also with Him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves began to beat the ship, so that it was now full. And He was in the hinder part of the ship, Jesus, asleep on a pillow. And they awake Him and say unto Him, listen to this, this is you need to listen to the words. Master, carest thou not that we perish? And He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was great calm. And He said unto them, this is the second part I want you to pay attention to, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? There, the disciples woke Jesus up. And listen, they did not say, Jesus, we're going to die because you can't take care of this storm. We're going to die because you're not going to be able to stop what's going on. What they were yelling at Him with when they woke Him up was, don't you care that we perish? Carest thou not that we perish? And then Jesus says in response, after He stills the storm, He says, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? They didn't have a lack of faith in what He could do. They had a lack of faith that He cared. That is what our anxiety boils down to. Our worry and our fear comes from an incorrect view of who God is. It comes from an incorrect view of does he care about us? Does He care about our problems, about our issues? 1 Peter 5, 7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Pastor mentioned this morning as well. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. The previous verse, I'm just going to turn there, and the previous verse gives us the context of what he says. Verse number 6 of 1 Peter 5 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. When we look at 1 Peter 5, 7 just by itself, okay, I'm supposed to cast all my care upon Him. I'm going to just give it to Him, and, you know, He cares for me. And that is what it's saying, but we're missing the context. The context is verse 6, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. I'm horrible at English, okay? I'm probably better at Hebrew than I am at English, and I'm horrible at Hebrew. But casting is a participle, and it ties back to humble. How do I humble myself? By casting. How do I humble myself under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt me in due time? By casting. Casting is directly related to humble. Do you know that anxiety is pride, and Pastor touched on this morning, anxiety is pride in disguise. We think that we're a victim. We think that we're, oh, I'm just so worried, I'm so anxious, I'm so fearful. But it's pride. It's pride, it's pride, it's pride under a disguise. Because when we are anxious, when we are worried, when we are fearful, even when we've prayed to God about this, that, or the other thing, and we're still anxious, we're still worried, we're still prideful, it's meaning that we are saying, okay, I gave that to you, God, But I really need to handle it because I don't trust you. It's pride is what it is. And that's why we deal with this kind of stuff so often, because we don't realize, you see, Satan is smart. He sneaks it in under the radar, under our radar, to where we think, I have the entitlement to be able to be worried. I am entitled to being fearful. And yet, we are being prideful and arrogant and sinful when we do those things. Okay, lastly, in what Paul commands to do here in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, he says, "But everything in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God." It's impossible to have victory over anxiety and worry and fear when we have a grudge against God. It's impossible, contrary-wise, and you should try this sometime, to be fearful and anxious and worried and be thankful at the same time. If you're worried about money, okay, if you're having financial difficulty, bills are coming in, if you thank the Lord for what he has provided for you, you'll find kind of in a weird way that oil and water, as they don't mix, neither does thankfulness and anxiety. That's why he says here, we should not only recognize who God is, but we should be thankful for what he's done. And our anxiety and our worry will melt away. Anxiety doesn't come from thinking too much. Okay, you might think, oh, if I thought about all the different things that are going on, I would have all kinds of anxiety and worry and fear. Anxiety doesn't come from thinking too much, but by thinking too little in the right direction. When we're not focused on who God is and what he has done for us, sure, we're going to be anxious and worried and fearful. We need to thank the Lord for the promises in his word. When we're anxious about this, that, or the other thing, we thank the Lord for what he has done. If we're worried about some infirmity, some trial, some tribulation, we can be thankful for the promise, "My grace is sufficient for thee." If we're worried about some kind of ministry-related issue, trying to give somebody the gospel, we need to remind ourselves of the promise, "My word will not return unto me void." If we're worried about what's going on in our lives and that we are insufficient to be able to do what God has called us to do, we need to remember, "Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." If we're having anxiety and worry about adversity, we need to remember the promise, "If God be for us, who can be against us?" And then, as he ends here, he gives a result of what happens when we follow this teaching. In verse number 7, it says, "As a result, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Here the word "keep" is a military term. In Hebrew and in Greek, the word "keep" is also used for the idea of guard. And this word is used for a guard who is guarding a fortress. God says through the Apostle Paul that if you will come to him, cast all of your care, your anxiety upon him, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and worship and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God in response. The peace of God that doesn't even make sense in a logical world. It passes understanding. It's going to guard your mind and heart like a fortress from anxiety and worry and fear. This is the promise here in this passage. I mentioned that my dad is a truck driver, and I've been going with him on the road since I was 2 years old. He's still a truck driver. He's been doing it for 30-something years, and he's been trying to get out of it ever since he got into it. But when I would go with him on the road, he had a cabin in the back of his truck, okay, a sleeper. And so when I was little, I would go back there when I got tired, and I'd get tired pretty quickly. Being a passenger on the long trips is kind of tiring, especially if you're a little kid. So I would go in the back, I would lie down, and I'd sleep like a baby. And while my dad is driving that truck, as a little child with no control over that semi barreling down the freeway, other drivers on the road, weather, you know, whatever it might be, do you think I was worried about any of that stuff? It did not enter my mind because I knew who was at the wheel and I trusted him as a child trusts their father. I had no fears at all. I just fell right asleep. We need to realize that God is in control. And when we are anxious or worried or fearful, we are really having a lack of trust in our Heavenly Father. I pray that this message would help you guys as much as the study has helped me over the past decade or longer as I've dealt with anxiety and worry and fear. And may the Lord give us victory over those things. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, so much for your love for us. Thank you that through you and only through you, we can have complete and total victory. And Lord, we thank you for your Spirit. We thank you for your word. We pray that you'd help us with the things that so often cause us to be fearful and worried and anxious, and remember the promises in your word. And Lord, we thank you so much. It made my message a lot easier this morning with everything the pastor preached, made my message easier tonight with everything the pastor preached this morning. We pray, Lord, that you would work in our hearts and in our midst and help us to trust you more fully. We pray all this in Jesus' name.